A state biologist gives insight into a spring bear mauling in Haines, and a Haines artist reflects on an inspirational trek over the Chilkoot Trail. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories up next. Some of the circumstances that led to a brown bear attack near Haines this spring came to light when a wildlife biologist interviewed the victim recently. The attack happened during a university mountaineering trip, which was originally planned for the Juneau Ice Field. Mauling victim Forrest Wagner was by himself and without bear deterrent when he ran into what appeared to be a sow and a cub. KHNS's Emily Files has more.
On April 18th, University of Alaska Southeast professor Forrest Wagner was with nine students and two teaching assistants descending Mount Emmerich. The group was on day five of a six-day mountaineering trip. Wagner had led other expeditions like this. He's an outdoor studies teacher. But this trip usually happens at the Juneau Ice Field. Poor snow and ice conditions rerouted the expedition to Mount Emmerich near Haines. Here's Alaska Department of Fish and Game wildlife biologist Stephanie Sell.
While April is a little bit earlier for bears to emerge from the dens, it's still within that kind of natural time period. And certainly with the mild winters, that probably influenced the emergence in April of this year.
The snow conditions weren't great on Mount Emmerich either. The group made its way down with Wagner out in front looking for a better route. That's when he saw the bear.
He did try to wave arms and make noise. It was a very short amount of time before the bear made contact.
Sell says Wagner struggled at first, but then played dead. She says the attack was fairly quick and consistent with other defensive bear maulings, a grab and release to neutralize what the animal sees as a threat. Wagner did not have bear spray or another deterrent with him.
We can't really confirm that, but it's likely that that was a female and a cub pair that Mr. Wagner came upon.
Sell isn't sure why the bear acted the way it did, but her theory is that the sow and cub had recently emerged from their den and were surprised by Wagner.
It was likely the sow was defending a cub from Mr. Wagner, who she perceived as a threat. You know, he was just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Sell did not want to discuss the extent of Wagner's injuries. Since he was ahead of the group, Wagner was alone following the confrontation. Sell says Wagner has wilderness first responder training, and he was able to administer first aid on himself until help arrived.
I would just like to really highlight the positives of the situation. I know that sounds weird, but there's a lot of things that went right in the situation.
She says other people in Wagner's group had first responder training and stabilized him after the attack. Sell also commended the Alaska State Troopers and Temsco helicopters for their response. Wagner and the students were evacuated from the mountain. Sell says people should be aware that bears are out early with the mild winters and early springs Alaska has experienced lately. The area the UAS group traveled was very remote and at about 2,000 feet, ideal bear denning habitat. Sell says in bear country, hikers should travel in groups, make noises, and carry bear deterrent. Although Wagner told Sell that the attack happened so quickly, he didn't think he would have had time to use bear spray anyway. No other bear incidents have been reported in that area since the attack. Whether Fish and Game will make any recommendations about changes to the UAS mountaineering course remains to be seen. Sell says she has to talk with her supervisor about it.
Of course, Mr. Wagner, you know, is an instructor. You know, there's things that he's learned from this situation. They weren't even really thinking because of the early timing. They didn't have bears on their mind. So certainly that's something I think they're going to prepare for a little bit more in the future. Whether they reach out to us for bear safety training, I don't know, but that's something that we can certainly encourage them to do.
Sell is personal friends with Wagner. She said it was terrifying to hear about the bear attack and then to find out it was someone she knew. Wagner was medevaced to Providence Hospital and stayed there for about a month. He is now back in Juneau and will resume teaching when classes begin this semester. Wagner did not respond to a request for comment by airtime. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
Haines artist Andrea Nelson returned home earlier this month from a two-week trek over the Chilkoot Trail. Most backpackers are limited to a handful of days on the rustic route, but Nelson's quest was different. She was one of three creative minds selected for the Chilkoot Artist in Residence program. Every day is a treasure hunt for Nelson. She's always keeping a watchful eye on her surroundings, not just for objects to add to her collage sculptures or assemblages, but for colors, designs, and patterns. But because her 14-day residency took place on a National Historical Site, she couldn't and wouldn't want to pocket any found items.
It wasn't so much about accumulating objects as observing just that phenomenon of human remnants.
Nelson was chosen for the Chilkoot residency, a joint effort through the National Park Service, Parks Canada, the Yukon Art Center, the Skagway Arts Council, and Alaska Geographic. Three visual artists are selected for the trip over the 33-mile trail, one American, one Canadian, and one regional artist from either Alaska or the Yukon. That was Nelson. The trail saw thousands of gold seekers battle the rugged terrain during the late 1800s in the Klondike Gold Rush. Hints of the bygone era still litter the path, but nature is taking its course.
Places that had thousands of people now have nothing left. I mean, the forest has just swallowed it.
She says seeing things like wolf tracks mingling amongst old rusted cans or fungi and lichen creeping up and onto corroded pieces of machinery that were abandoned over a century ago was fascinating.
One of the things that really caught my eye on this trail were the Victorian details, like ornamental details on some of the remnants. They were so unexpected because everything is so utilitarian and rugged.
The residency program is in its sixth year. Nelson says it aims to inspire artists for a project or projects that capture their own interpretation of life, past and present, on the trail.
As well as starting art along the trail and interacting with other hikers to enrich their experience of seeing the area through a different lens.
Along the way, Nelson hiked and camped, but because the residency lasted 14 days, she was able to really stop and spend time at interesting areas along the historic route. Permitted hikers are herded up and over in a limited amount of time, so Nelson says being able to pause, take in her surroundings, and interact with people on the trail was a unique experience. For the most part, despite lots of rain and a 70-pound pack loaded with camping and art supplies, she maintained an easy pace.
With one big day in the middle that goes over the pass, and it traverses through multiple ecosystems and vegetation types and geology as you go along. And of course, the remains of tens of thousands of people who went before us, stampeders and the native traders hundreds of years before that.
During the first few days, because of the rain and waterlogged trail and a heavy pack that her body was still adjusting to, Nelson says she put being an artist on the back burner and just tried to survive. But she says those early days gave her an idea of the power of the trail. She says she could feel the struggle of those who made the trek so many decades ago. When she got into her groove, though, she would stop and take notes, draw maps, take photographs, and really try and absorb her surroundings.
I knew that I wanted to collapse my background in archaeological work and museum work into my art, and I wanted to look at the Chilkoot Trail as a larger cultural and natural landscape.
Just how this approach would manifest itself into the final art pieces wasn't clear when Nelson started at the Dyea Trailhead in mid-July. She's currently in the process of sorting through all the notes and diagrams and photos she collected on the journey to come up with what she calls a mock archaeological documentation. Nelson says she'll also try to recreate some of the relics she saw along the trail with items she already has.
So I've mapped a lot, diagrammed, took a lot of notes on human behavior and just kind of mixing some different approaches. And then I'll be using my own collections to kind of make a conglomeration.
And her project won't just focus on the historical significance of the route, but the modern Chilkoot trail scene too.
I paid a lot of attention to hiker behavior from camp to camp and how that correlates to probable stampeder attitudes. For example, the camp right before the pass is where people get very anxious and fidgety and they leave things behind on accident and on purpose because they don't want to carry them. I imagine stampeders with a similar attitude, as well as a great deal of relief at the next camp.
She says she even documented trash left behind by modern day hikers, hiking pole tips, wrappers, and band-aids. She says she likes the parallel between the old and new. Nelson says the timeline for her finished project is lenient. She'll be working on it over the winter, and she hopes to present it in Haines, Skagway, Whitehorse, and possibly Dawson City sometime next year. For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local stories anytime on our website at khns.org.